We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All the toys have been pulled out of their boxes. All the wrapping paper has been discarded. A day after the Field of 64 has been released, we can now take full inventory of what Santa Claus has brought us, David Kahn. Kyle Schatzberger and David Kahn with you in College Sports Now. Tuesday following Memorial Day, which means we've got a bracket.
Yeah.
We've got 64 teams. We've got 16 regional sites. We've got 8 national seeds. And David Kahn and I are here over the next 45 minutes or so to break those down, to react, to overreact, to give our takes on what we experience, what we endured this past week. Championship weekend, of course, Con and I were in Hoover for the SEC tournament, which saw its fair share of drama. Vanderbilt winning its fourth ever SEC tournament crown in 12 appearances. But there was some thievery going on across the rest of the country. There were some teams that were able to sneak in by the hair of their chinny-chin-chin. Yes, I'm talking about you, Arizona. So we will talk about that. We'll also do some word association, some of the toughest regionals, maybe some of the easiest routes, just some 30,000-foot view type stuff before we actually pick. Coming up on Thursday's episode, which will be live at CS Now Tweets on the Varsity Channel on YouTube. Again, you can follow David Kahn at SportsCon4, I'm at Kyle Schatz at CS Now Tweets is how you can interact with us. So happy to have you along for the ride. Mr. David Kahn, how you living, man? How you feeling? Are you back? Is your body clock back to Eastern Standard Time, which is the worst time?
Yes.
But we are back in the Tar Heel State, just ahead of the Tar Heels going to Indiana State. But how you feeling?
I miss Central Time already. Like, that time zone is perfect. It's absolutely where everyone should be living in. And there's no debate. Central Time is the best. My body clock is entirely messed up because I aggressively decided that yesterday would be a great day to come home and play golf after getting home at 3 in the morning with you and Phil Brain from Hoover. And, of course, it rained all day yesterday, too. So that just made playing golf even more of a arduous task than I already make it upon myself by not being very good. My body's a little tired. We are on the struggle bus, as one might say. But excited as ever to talk Field of 64 and
you got all 18. You got all 18 holes in.
Got all 18 holes in. The rain was never hard enough to make us stop.
And you didn't snap your driver like I did Friday at Hoover.
I thought I did, but I did not. There was one drive where I just completely bungled everything about it because it was so wet I couldn't hold the club. And I grabbed it at the last moment with my hand on the release. So it didn't go flying, but I thought I had snapped the head, and I did not snap the head. But no, you are in the market for a new driver. So companies abound. This is a sponsored athlete right here. If you want him to showcase your new clubs, your new driver, and see a ball get hit 300 yards repeatedly by this man, give him a driver. He needs one.
Because in the meantime, I'm just going to make old clubs look good yes. by utilizing what I have at the local fleet. No, not the fleet. I did go to play it against sports yesterday, so no free ads. But I poked and I prodded. I even went into Golf Galaxy, and I'm like,
I was there yesterday too.
I do not have $300-$400 to Even the demo clubs,
I know,
are going for $300-$400.
They're brutal.
I mean, the best one you could find is like $280 maybe.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, it didn't have what I needed in terms of X shaft and lesser loft. Like, I need a club that's lofted at 9, 9.5. I'd been using a driver at 10, 10.5, and I don't need that. Like, I murder the ball. I don't need height.
No.
I don't have a problem.
You create your own height.
So, you know, we'll see. I was looking at this Cleveland used driver. We'll see what I end up doing. I got another spare one I even forgot back home. So I need to test a couple out, but we're dealing with rain this week, so it might be a little bit difficult. But, yes, my driver snapped at the luxurious Hoover Country Club. It was not intentional. I did walk 18 holes. I did survive. Hat tip to David Crane and Phil Brame for being the walkers, the monstrous, golf walkers that they are, where it was no skin off their back, no sweat at all. But for me, you know, the guy who prides himself on physical fitness, I almost did not survive. Okay?
Well, you were walking on a bum knee. Well, we should put that out there.
My body is all bum. It's bum all the time. It's bum today. It's bum tomorrow. Like, I break my body in half.
Your peak physical condition, you would be fine to walk 18 holes. You just weren't in your peak physical condition.
Well, peak physical condition consists of me hurting all the time. So my knee is already in shambles. My right knee hurts. I've been playing pickup basketball. I work out too much. I run too much. It's just, I put too much stress on my body and don't allow enough recovery. Although I will say the BCAAs have been taking, have been helping. They certainly have. However, when all of a sudden I've got to walk 18 holes, 7,000 yards, okay, at a fancy, the most difficult course I've ever played. Up and down, it wasn't too hilly, but there were moments that were more, you know, more tiresome, more challenging than others. And it wore on me. It wore on me. So that's in the rearview mirror now. Now we can focus on what's in front of us, and that's regional baseball this weekend. There'll be more golf ahead. There certainly will be. I got to get my game right before my trip in a couple of weeks, and you and I need to get out as well. So we've got 16 seeds that are hosting.
Yep.
We've got 8 national seeds. Of the 16, though, half the hosts are from the SEC. Mm-hmm. That is a record. That is a record. Never before have there been 8 from one league. The SEC is able to one-up their previous record of 7. They've got 10 overall in the field of 64. They also had 10. That matches a conference record. They also had 10 in 2014, 2018, and 2019. 7 of the RPI top 11 are represented among those 16 hosts. And for me, I think that's where the conversation should start. We can get to the RPI and how it's used and the measurement system that it seems like this committee and John Cohen, the athletic director at Auburn, former AD at Mississippi State, ultimately settles on. Like, they're very much aware, and listening to John Cohen, you know, on ESPN, and as the bracket was revealed Monday afternoon, you know, he would go into more detail about how, basically admittingly, that we need a new system. We need different ways. We need more of a groupthink, as he had called it. Yet, when push came to shove, more often than not, he was settling on that RPI number. So we'll get into that a little bit. But for me, Con, it's the SEC getting 8 hosts. And given we were just corporate chilling for the conference, like, I might be a little bit jaded, but, like, honestly, I don't see that much of a problem with it other than South Carolina getting that, being that team, which got them to 8. I was expecting 7, no problem, no question. Kentucky, I can maybe do without as a host too, as well, just because of their sheer win-loss record. I understand they went out and scheduled, but
yeah, the RPI is what got them that host. Yeah, they almost got them a national seed. If they didn't go 1-and-done in Hoover, they could have been top 8.
I mean, it was almost like a de facto they were going to be a 16 just because of the RPI, which, you know, when you look at their league record, they only had 16 wins. You know, Kentucky, you can make a case, a team that fell out of the top 25, wasn't even top 25. And I understand there's a focus and a spotlight being put on teams like Campbell, Southern Miss, and their ability to host and them getting snubbed.
Boston College,
but most
too.
Of all, that's where I'm going next. But most of all, it was Boston College. Well, BC's a team, too, that fell out of the top 25. Yeah. You know? So, like, who are we going to put? You know, like, you can make an argument for any of these teams. South Carolina was number three nationally at one point. Sure, they lost their last four series in the SEC to end the year. They lost 11 of 15 games that they had played. They didn't go one and done in Hoover, so that certainly helped their case. But they just sneak in as the 15th overall seed ahead of Alabama at 16. So what do you make of the 8 regional hosts, 10 overall for the SEC?
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you on South Carolina being really the biggest question mark, and here's why. You know, we're going to get to Arizona later in the show because they're obviously one of the biggest points to this field of 64 with how they, you know, finished late and got into the field as one of the last four in. And the committee said that they really valued the last 3 weeks for Arizona getting in. Well, if you really value how a team finishes, despite the fact that Arizona went 12-18 and has the worst conference record of any at-large team since 2009, how in the heck can you not put in either Campbell or Southern Miss as a host for winning their conference tournaments? Campbell won the Big South regular season and the Big South conference tournament. Southern Miss won the Sun Belt. How does that not put them in over South Carolina, who went 1-2 in Hoover and only beat a team in Georgia who had no chance to get into the tournament unless they won the SEC tournament, which wasn't going to happen? So there's my confusion. I think Campbell is slightly the bigger snub only because they have one additional metric that's better than South Carolina, and that's their non-conference strength of schedule. Campbell's non-conference strength of schedule is better. I'm pulling it up right now. Because they're the number 22. 13 RPI. Yeah. And even on Warren Nolan, it's rated number 13. So even higher. South Carolina's is 45 on Warren Nolan. Now, overall, South Carolina had the third hardest strength of schedule, and Campbell had 86. But that's because Campbell plays in the Big South, and South Carolina plays in the SEC. Campbell went out and scheduled really tough games in the non-con for themselves. They can't help the fact that the Big South is a lower-rated RPI conference than the SEC. That's just where they are. That's why they're moving conferences. But Campbell went out. They did pretty well in the non-conference, too. They went 19-8, 44-13 overall. And they won the Big South regular season and conference tournament titles. What else do you have to do?
This is the groupthink that we're talking about here. I'm all for, and we get into the RPI a little bit as we make these points. I'm all for the RPI being a model. Like, let's get us to the table. Let's value or evaluate this team, Team A and Team B, South Carolina and Campbell. Okay. The RPI takes us to this point. South Carolina has a better RPI at 8. Campbell has an RPI of 13. Let's look at their RPI top 50. You know, Campbell's not going to hold a candle to South Carolina because South Carolina plays in the SEC. Let's look at win-loss record against teams with an RPI worse than 100. Well, Campbell's playing more of those teams because of the league they're in, and South Carolina is not, and they're not scheduling those teams. So they're prisoner or victims of who they are and in what conference they play. So at what point can you and I just have a conversation and talk through who is more rewarding based on the schedule that they are given?
Right.
You know, and not just prop up the big guy because they were in the SEC. And that's what happened with South Carolina here. And there's not enough of that going on. There's not enough of leveling with these smaller schools, with these mid-majors, even these high majors, as I think we should look at a Campbell. We should look at Southern Miss that way. Certainly a team that has been to Omaha. DBU, ECU, these are high majors. These don't necessarily have a seat at the Power 5 table. However, they're right there. And we need to look at them the same because of the body of work and the resume and the leverage that they've been able to build over the last several years, 10, 15 years, in being a consistent challenger of these big boys and in the postseason. So, you know, to just look at the RPI, and here's the thing. To your point, you're bringing up an example of a team. Why are we rewarding Arizona when their numbers are as bad as they were, yet we can't use that same logic to reward a team like Campbell for as good as their numbers were to give them a host? I get that entirely. You can say the same thing, I think, and Indiana State, fortunately, They gave him a host.
Thank God.
Rightfully so. Indiana State checks in at 14. Here's 1 through 16. Wake, the number one overall seed, no surprise. Florida 2, Arkansas 3, Clemson 4 after winning the ACC tournament championship
earned it
this past weekend. Certainly earned it. And what a bizarre set of circumstances this past week in Durham. They moved half the semifinal to Chapel Hill.
Yep.
So Wake Forest and Miami played in Chapel Hill in a drenched, rain-soaked field and surface. And then at the DBAP, they had Clemson. Who'd Clemson even play? Virginia?
I don't even remember.
I can't even recall.
Virginia.
But
maybe?
Clemson then beat Miami in the championship.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay? So Clemson is at 4. LSU is 5. Vanderbilt is 6. Virginia 7. Stanford 8. Those are your top 8 overall national seeds who have home field advantage should they win their regional this weekend. Regional play begins on Friday, June 5th, can run through Monday. Friday, June 2nd, can run through Monday, June 5th, if necessary. Of course, if you're one of these top 8 seeds, for example, you are the number one seed in your respective region. Same goes for 9 through 16. You can go 3-0 and win your regional. Mm-hmm. Just win 3 games. If you lose one, you're going to have to play an extra game. It could go to 7 total games for the regional where you're playing on Monday. 9 through 16, Miami, Coastal, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Auburn, Indiana State, South Carolina, and Alabama. Again, 8 SEC hosts. Now, I had a point I was going to make about using the logic one way but not the other way, and it's escaping me now. But for Indiana State, for them to get in, what do you make of – because if they weren't going to get a hosting position as a – they're not a high major. They're a low major. Mm-hmm. They're as mid to low as it comes. But for as gaudy as their record was, overall, Indiana State this season, they had won 34 of their last 38 games. 34 of 38, 42-15 overall record, win their 8th Missouri Valley Tournament Championship in program history, won the regular season, so they sweep both titles, have been ranked as high as number 9 in some of the polls, and one of the nation's best, top 10 in 6 different categories, fielding percentage, they're number 1, 3rd in whip, 5th in ERA, 5th in shutouts, 8th in hit by pitch, 7th in walks allowed per 9, also top 20 in hits allowed per 9, 16th in strikeout to walk ratio. The numbers speak for themselves. That was a welcome sign to see that ISU was rewarded, and not even the 16. They gave them a couple of notches up to number 14.
Yeah, agreed with everything you just said. And the same can be said for Coastal, because Indiana State won their conference tournament, so they get in no matter what. Great that they got a host. The same could be said for Coastal Carolina getting a host seed when not winning the Sun Belt, getting ousted in the Sun Belt tournament. But they had the number 1 non-conference strength of schedule, number 16 overall. Those numbers are both better than Indiana State, and both of those teams got rewarded with hosting selections. It's great to see. But the thing that you talked about, you know, John Cohen bringing up the groupthink, well, I feel like they were using groupthink this year to pick teams because they didn't pick by any one type of metric. It wasn't all RPI, because if they pick by RPI, Campbell's in as a host, and Oklahoma State and Auburn are not. Because Oklahoma State's 17 and Auburn's 19.
They just use the RPI to bend whichever narrative that they want.
Correct.
It's not consistent.
Right. There's no consistency. That's exactly the point I was trying to make. Is they, you know, when they look at Arizona, they go, oh, they were hot down the stretch. Then they go South Carolina. Well, their body of work, they started 30-4, but they finished 4-11, but they played better teams because they're in the SEC, so they're in. Wait a minute. You just said Arizona finished well, so that's why they got in. And South Carolina didn't finish well, but they played well to start, so now they're in. Again, and they played against a Clemson team that wasn't as good as they are now, but Clemson's the number 4 seed, and South Carolina's still in as a host. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's cognitive dissonance in your head. You're just walking around with all these jarring thoughts bouncing off of one another, and that's why you get so much gripe back at the committee, and you go, do you have a method? And the answer's no. They just kind of pick and choose whatever method works for whatever team they're putting in when they have to sit up there and explain themselves, and to their credit. And Aaron Fitz said this in his article on D1 Baseball. This is a very thankless job to be a part of this committee. I totally understand that, and I respect the people who are a part of this committee and put themselves through this process every single year, because it's massively difficult and it's massively challenging to have to face all of the arrogance and, you know, people who are upset that their teams did not get in, probably for rightful reasons, every single year, both on social media and in person. But you have to be able to go up and stand up and defend your choices with, you know, logic and reasoning that resonates throughout the entire field of 64, and I don't think they did that.
I think with Arizona in particular, who is a team with the worst conference record to get an at-large bid since 2009.
Yeah.
They went 12-18.
Yeah.
In the Pac-12.
And the committee goes, oh, they went 16-19 because they won four games in the Pac-12 tournament.
Lost six of their 10 conference series and were swept four times.
Yeah.
Yet they get in ahead of
USC.
And Arizona State, I can understand. Arizona State,
yep.
How many did we get in the Pac-12? We got five teams. So Stanford, Oregon State, Washington, your top three in the regular season standings. And then Oregon, who finished sixth, and Arizona, who finished eighth. Now, the Ducks beat the Wildcats in the Pac-12 title game, so they earned the automatic bid.
Right.
So your top three got in, the team that won your league tournament at six, and then Arizona, who finished in a tie for eighth in the standings. With Cal, only ahead of Washington State and Utah, Arizona with 12 wins. Now, they beat Arizona State during the regular season. They also, heck, I think it was
a midweek.
I had wrote the number down. Yeah, they beat them like 20-0.
Yeah.
So it was 32-3 in the last two meetings combined, including in the Pac-12 tournament. So, you know, Arizona State, you don't got a leg to stand in. But for USC, who had 17 wins, 13 losses, won 7 of its 10 Pac-12 series, 18-14 the aggregate when you look at the conference tournament, 5-15-1 against the top 50. So
there's the hurt.
You know, there it is. But USC, I still think by and large, because of the body of work of the entire year, is a team that was much more deserving than Arizona. It seemed like the committee just decided to value and prop up too much what happened in Scottsdale this past week.
Correct. And people say, well, what about the RPI? Arizona had a better RPI than USC, 45-53. Correct. That's true. But that's the only metric really where Arizona is better than USC. So that's the argument where you say, oh, the committee solely went by RPI. It's like, no, they needed a decision. They needed a reason to say that Arizona is getting in over USC, and they lean on the RPI. They didn't do it because of the RPI. They leaned on that to explain the choice. I feel for USC. I think they're the biggest snub of the tournament.
I think so, too.
I think Andy Stankiewicz and company.
We're talking about USC and not NC State.
I know. NC State got in.
NC State had no bad losses.
No.
They weren't impressed. They didn't wow you with anything. They
deserve to get in.
A boring team that just worked their way into the field by doing the very minimum.
Yeah. I mean, look, they have the metrics, right? NC State, you want to riff on them real quick. The RPI, 23. Strength of schedule, 21. That's in. Like, I mean, there's no question about it. You're going to get in the tournament.
Yeah. But for USC.
USC, yeah. Like, you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, we couldn't do anything else except for maybe, you know, do better in the Pac-12 tournament. They went 1-1, so they didn't get out of pool play, unfortunately for them. Yeah. You had a great body of work in a conference and a region of the United States that consistently gets undervalued, overlooked, and washed out when it comes to the NCAA tournament, especially this year because of teams like Xavier, Charlotte, Tulane, Roll Wave, that get in the tournament and steal bids. But even so, when you're, you know, and USC wasn't even in the first four out. That was the crazy thing. The first four, that was the thing that wowed me. The first four out is Arizona State, Kansas State, Kent State, makes sense. They lost to Ball State in the MAC title game. And UC Irvine were the first four out, which, by the way, Kansas State and Oklahoma, we can talk about them. That's weird. And the first four in were Arizona, Louisiana at Lafayette, Oklahoma, and Troy.
Yeah, last four in, yes.
Last four in, yeah. First four out was Arizona State, Kansas State, Kent State, UC Irvine. How is USC not in the first four out? That's mind-boggling to
it
me.
It is. And why
over
are we,
Arizona State.
And why are we putting Kent State on that line? Like, look,
they weren't getting in if they didn't win the MAC.
It's a one-bid league.
Yeah.
It's a one-bid league. Yeah. Like, why do we need to add some shine to what Kent State did? Sorry, no disrespect,
no.
Kent State, but like,
they should have gotten the job done. They didn't do it. Yeah.
Okay? It's the MAC. You're not getting two teams in.
Yeah.
So, USC, I would agree. Biggest snub. One team that you had on there among the first four out was Irvine. That's another.
Yeah.
And Irvine, a team who's RPI was at 49.
Mm-hmm.
They had one top 50 RPI game all year.
Because
USC and Arizona State struggles, whom they beat, their RPI became weighed down, and it disallowed the Anteaters from having more RPI top 50 wins.
They would have been 7-1 if USC and Arizona State stayed above water. And they also are at a disadvantage because they play in the Big West, which is the number 10 RPI conference.
And these are all examples of what we're talking about in terms of not using the arbitrary numbers of what the RPI represents
Correct.
To make your final decisions on these teams getting into the field. I don't understand Arizona getting in over USC or in Irvine or a before we get to the Big 12 and Kansas State and Oklahoma, let's talk about BC.
Okay.
Because I'm fine with BC. BC, they were hot.
They tailed off. Yep.
They tailed off. Mm-hmm. But in looking at those 16 regional hosts, okay, the fact that BC's not one of them and Alabama's at 16 behind Auburn at 13 is another discussion point. You know, so we can talk about whether or not South Carolina's deserving, and I would go with a Campbell or a Southern Miss before I even get to Boston College. Mm-hmm. And I understand there's the geographical component here, which isn't a component anymore. Let's be real.
Sorry.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Because if we're trying to spread things out more and help give some love to the Northeast and grow the game and expand the game and just make this a little bit more geographical symmetrical, if you will, instead of having 15 hosts all in the Southeast
and one out west.
Midwest. I mean, you yeah. got Terre Haute in the
right.
Midwest.
Yeah.
You got Stanford out west. Stanford didn't even play a top 50 game.
Nope. All year.
All year. Yeah. Okay. But they won the Pac-12 going away by 5 games in the regular season. They just held off a surging Miami for that number 8 overall spot. And I feel like that was fairly calculated. I think all of the seeding was actually well calculated. There weren't really any missteps when sizing up a 2 versus 3
yeah.
or how a team comes in as a 4. For the field that we have, I think it is pretty, you know, I'm happy. I'm content with the way things shook out. However, with the ranking of the hosts and a Auburn over Alabama, when Alabama won 3 out of 4 games, including one time in Hoover.
They knocked him out.
And even had a better RPI. Here we go again. This is where the RPI is better.
Where is? Yeah.
Their RPI is 11, and Auburn's is 19.
8 spots lower. And the strength of schedule is only a difference of 5. Alabama's at 14 and was surging down the stretch. So was Auburn. But guess what? Alabama faced them when both teams are red hot and knocked them out.
And I think,
how does that not put them over ahead of them?
More weight was being put on what Auburn had done entering the SEC tournament.
But Alabama did the same thing.
Both teams are surging.
It's
Auburn,
crazy.
I think, had won 9 in a row before they had lost to first game. I understand
right.
the knockout game was Alabama Auburn, but God, it all blurs together. But Auburn had won like 9 in a row at one point.
Yeah.
Heading into one of their games in Hoover. For Alabama, though, I mean, they had won, I think beginning the tournament, they had won 8 of 11 or 9 of 11.
Yeah.
You know, they were a different
Alabama
team.
Alabama was 10-3 going into Hoover.
Since Brad Bohannon was shown the door.
Yeah.
Or, you know, well, escorted to the nearest, you know, penny slot. Oh, Alabama just completely became a different team. They're wearing Hawaiian shirts on the plane to College Station.
Yeah.
You know, they're more fun. They're more enthusiastic. They've got the disco helmet.
Amazing.
It's just it's spectacular. You got a nice picture with the whammy wagon, by the way. Good job on social media this past week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Texas A&M and the luggage cart that they call the whammy wagon.
Yes, I love it.
That was
I didn't get any social media of A&M using it this weekend because they didn't hit a homer.
No, not
they didn't go deep.
Not when we were down there. It was in game. Well, you were either calling it, you were in the booth
earlier
in the week.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, Texas A&M going out west, like, watch out. Dude, I could see, so the two SEC teams that are not number one, Texas A&M going to Stanford, and Tennessee
going to Clemson.
Going to royally screw Clemson.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That's terrible.
Eric Backish.
Terrible.
What a turnaround.
Oh,
fourth
no.
overall seed. You win the ACC tournament.
You get Clemson.
How many games in a row? They've won 16 in a row?
Yeah.
And you get Tennessee coming down to Doug Kingsmore. Are you
awful.
Kidding me? Holy smokes.
I feel so bad for Clemson. I feel horrible for the
I
Tigers.
Think we this is a lot different than you know Big Ten basketball. We talk about all the seeds, all the bids that they get,
right.
And then how many teams are left once you get to the Sweet 16?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one, you know, 10%
right.
of what you had.
Yeah.
I think the SEC I think, and this isn't a hot take, but I do think with 10 bids, I think at least 7 are going to move on. Somehow,
I'm
gonna go
you.
7. 6 for sure, more than half.
Yeah,
more than half.
But that's a lock.
I think it'll be more like I'm gonna go with 7. I'm going to go with seven come out of their respective regionals.
Okay.
How many for you?
I think that's spot on.
Okay,
seven. I'm going to agree with you.
And here, back to the Alabama-Auburn. Okay, just close the loop on this. So here's the difference. Auburn gets 13, who is paired up with, I always struggle with this, who's paired up with what, the three? No,
Auburn
the
is
four.
Paired up with Clemson.
With Clemson.
Yeah, so okay? You could get Auburn-Tennessee, but Southern Miss could easily come out of that regional.
But that's the difference between being a 13 or a 16. Now Alabama
gets Wake Forest
Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Which, look, Wake Forest, now it's time.
Mm-hmm. Got to do it.
Now it's time to put on your big boy
pants.
Got
to do it.
There are more people doubting you, okay, than there are who think you're going to come out of this unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
Because people look at you for whom you are, in name only, Wake Forest, and they don't want to take you seriously. And it's been that way all year. Now, we've hyped them up. We've given them appropriate credit. We spread the love. We've recognized. We have acknowledged. I ran into Bubba Carpenter.
Oh, yes.
Analyst on the Razorback Sports Network, the best booth in college baseball, by my judgment, him and Phil Wilson. And I talked with Bubba, and Bubba was a terrific human. Talked with him for 10 minutes. The last thing that he asked of me, tell me about Wake Forest. Are they really good? Like, because it's just hard for SEC people, especially.
Yeah. To look outside their conference.
The best conference in America, to look outside their league.
Yeah.
Like, what do they put in the water in Winston-Salem? Like, tell me. Like, is this real? Oh. And I'm like, Bubba, this is real. Like, yeah. They are stinking good. Like, yeah. Only Florida has a staff that can, begin to rival what Wake Forest has. But here's the thing. And up and down, 1 through 9 in the order. They don't play in the SEC. So, like, Your argument or your suspicions or worries or concerns are as valid as any of ours. And Wake Forest, look, they die as the number one overall seed. They dodged an SEC team. Okay, there are only two.
They didn't play anybody in the non-conference.
But they didn't play anyone, and now they're getting the Big Ten champion in Maryland,
and Northeastern,
who was the best team for the majority, I think, of the year, at least two-thirds of the year, I think, in the CAA. I mean, UNC Wilmington was right
they
there.
They won the tournament. All year long, yeah, good
too.
For them. Congratulations.
But to get Northeastern as a three, Maryland as a two, George Mason as a four, I'm beyond. I don't know anything about George Mason.
Their mascot is the Patriots.
Yes.
That's all I got for you.
So, look.
Or sorry, they come out of the Patriot League.
They come out of the Patriot
My
League.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how much I know about George Mason. When I think George Mason, word association, I think of the NCAA tournament run they made.
Yeah, Jim Larranaga.
That's it.
It's not an easy draw. Like, that's a tough draw for Wake, though, with Maryland being in there. It reminds me a little bit of what Arkansas had 2 years ago, Kevin Copps here, when Nebraska went down and beat him one game or gave him some trouble. You had the Big Ten champion going to the number one overall seed.
I messed up George Mason again. They are the Patriots. They're out of the A-10. My bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for looking that up.
Yeah, sorry.
Because otherwise we would have looked like big baboons.
I knew someone was the Patriots with them. I couldn't remember.
You were too much stuck on it. I was ready to move on to I was ready to run the second. All right. I was rounding third and heading home. You were caught in a pickle. You were in a pickle. You were not going to let that
and
one
Peyton
slide.
Peyton Hold was not going to throw me out at third base and backpick me like he did to Hayden Travinsky. What
incredible.
A play.
He got me. I wasn't ready for it calling that game. Wake Forest. The winner of that Winston-Salem regional would get the winner of the Tuscaloosa regional. And who is going to the Tuscaloosa regional?
Boston College.
Mike Gambino.
Yeah, I love it.
Gambino. There's some sort of play on words there as he goes to Tuscaloosa. I don't know. Maybe not. Gambino. About to get Gambino'd. Maybe not. I'm reaching. But
yeah. Anyways, that 116, I don't know who's coming out of either of those.
No.
I really don't. Troy is a legitimate team. The fourth team in the Sun Belt to get in. They are a legitimate. They're one of the last four in. They could easily usurp Alabama or Boston College in that regional. I could see it happening. Absolutely. I could see a scenario where I don't know who's hosting in Winston-Salem or Tuscaloosa, out of the Winston-Salem or Tuscaloosa regionals, because Wake Forest and Alabama don't win. Now, they should, but I could see it.
It's my boy Shane Lewis. Troy and Alabama are very familiar with each other.
Yes.
They've played. So, and they played just a couple of weeks ago.
They did, and in the home of the Biscuits.
Yeah.
I love the pairings. I think these pairings are so fun. you go up and down. I don't know that I look at a certain regional and go, oh, this is easy. Like, you know, done. The only one, I will admit this. My initial thought when looking at the Fayetteville regional was, oh my God, that's the softest of the 16 and it's not close. But then I'm discounting TCU. Because TCU
won every game in Globe Life.
Yeah, TCU just wins Big 12 titles. They've won four of the last five, I'm pretty sure. Like, I mean, Kirk Sarlous and really Schloss before him are remarkable in the conference tournaments. I mean, holy cow. Which TCU walloped host Oklahoma State. Let me just say that again. TCU walloped Oklahoma State, who's hosting. I don't get Oklahoma State as a host. They should be in the tournament, sure. I don't understand them as a host.
That's another one. Just ahead of BC with a RPI 17, BC at 18.
Strength of schedule 29.
Let's look at the top 50. Oklahoma State 16 and 13 against top 50 RPI teams. That's 16 and 13. 13 and 14 for BC.
Yeah, ahead of BC, sure. BC shouldn't be a host. But when you're looking at teams like Campbell and Southern Miss and all that, sure. But yeah.
I was just looking because they were right next to each other.
No. You're right. But yes. You're right. But like, I don't know that I get Oklahoma State as a host.
I'm just looking at another power team because we've got look at these mid to high majors. We've got Campbell, and we've got Indiana State, a mid major that are in there.
So I would have put Campbell over Coastal. South Carolina and Oklahoma State.
Yes, no, I agree with you. South Carolina, three hosts. How about that? Three hosts just in the state of South Carolina
Busy
alone.
State.
None in Texas for the first time since 2013.
That's crazy.
No host in Texas.
Now, Big 12 regular season, you know, number one seed Texas went 0-2 in the tournament, as did West Virginia. So neither of them get to host. West Virginia is going to Lexington, which we need to discuss what's going on in the Did you see that DM I sent you?
Yeah, yes.
That's a problem. I've confirmed that that is the case, by the way. Did some digging. And Texas, where are they going? I don't even remember.
Texas is going to Miami.
Oh. Do we get a pecan pie or pecan pie Mark Light shake? Because that's where it was invented, in Texas.
Do you know what the pecan pie?
Yeah.
Pecan pie was invented in Texas?
Pretty sure.
How do you know this?
I think I saw it on Twitter.
I have the shakes. You want to guess what they are?
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, they're already out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They were out pretty quickly yesterday.
Great. No, that's awesome. Well, Maine is going to be lobster. Something to do with lobster.
Yeah, there's one key ingredient in all three of these, too.
Okay, so I'll try and get those. So lobster, some kind of whatever.
So it's
lobster
called the
roll
Maine,
shake.
It's called the Maine butter lobster.
Love it. Okay. Louisiana is going to be some kind of Cajun, Cajun crawfish.
Stop
whatever.
Cheating. Stop looking at
I'm not. I'm looking at the field of 64 to look at the teams. Louisiana is going to be some kind of Cajun dish.
It's Louisiana Tabasco.
Okay, yep.
The name of it.
So there it is. And then Texas, maybe they won't go with pecan pie. But what else do they go with? Barbecue? Southwest? I'm going to go some kind of Southwest thing. I think they went away from the pecan pie. I'm going to go Southwest.
Yeah, because it's not as recognizable, the pecan. That's why I asked. I was like, how do you know pecan pie is from Texas?
I'm pretty sure. I think I saw that on Twitter.
It's called the Texas Barbecue Brisket.
Barbecue.
Shake.
Okay. Yep.
So the Texas Barbecue Brisket, the Louisiana Tabasco, and the Maine Butter Lobster, all three of those Mark-like shakes will be available at the Coral Gables Regional.
I would try all three.
All three of them include vanilla. And yes, there'll be Cajun spices in Louisiana Tabasco.
I would try all three. Oh, here's where I saw it. Paul Roper tweeted about it. He said pecan pie is the slam dunk for Texas as a Mark Light shake. It was actually created and is the official state dessert of Texas.
Gross.
You don't like pecan pie?
No, I don't eat pie. Do I look like a guy who eats pie?
You eat anything.
I did have some tremendous banana pudding that David Crane fed me.
You literally,
Friday night,
literally fed
at
you.
An Italian joint outside of Birmingham. And
Bellini's.
And yes, Bellini's.
But Biscuit Belly stole the show.
Biscuit Belly did steal the show. If you got a Biscuit Belly near you, go there now, please.
Oh, my God.
North Carolina, how many bids as a state? Do you know? How many schools representing North Carolina?
We got Wake
Forest. It's a record.
We got Wake Forest. We got East Carolina. We got NC State. We got North Carolina. There's four. We got Duke. We have, so we're at five. Ooh. Oh, UNC Wilmington. There's six. Oh, Charlotte, because they won.
Yeah.
Seven. Oh, Campbell.
Yep.
Eight. Eight of them.
Here's your eight.
Yeah. I was like, I know there's one more.
Those are your eight.
Yeah, there's eight. Eight of them. Yep. That's impressive. And there's only one regional, Winston-Salem. Three of them are in South Carolina.
Only one.
Which,
only one.
By the way, the South Carolina regionals, South Carolina's in Columbia and Coastal Carolina's in Conway are totally regional-based, and that's awesome. I love that. Mostly because if you go to the Columbia regional for a moment, which we've talked about a little bit, so you have NC State as the three, Campbell as the two. So you get an angry Campbell team that didn't host going to a team that they probably should have hosted over. And then you get an NC State team who's just been groveling at the bit to get into the field of 64. And they're finally in. So look out, because Elliott Avent, I mean, is ready to burn doors down with pitchforks. And then you get Conway, where just the regional fun continues with number two Duke and number three, UNC Wilmington, who won the CAA. I think that's awesome. Yep. And then you throw in a team in Ryder, who, by the way, just beat Duke like 2 weeks ago.
Yep, split with them in the midweek.
Yeah.
I have no idea on that regional.
That's awesome.
No idea.
No.
That is a coin flip. And outside of Ryder, I don't think Ryder is going to come away with
probably
it.
Probably
no, not. No disrespect.
No, probably not.
Very much disrespect. But the Mid-Atlantic Athletic Conference champion
Mac,
who knocked off Fairfield, the number one seed. I think it was 18-4 mm-hmm. on Sunday. So, yeah, that's I got no idea there. I called the Campbell Regional, as you indicated. It should be theirs, not South Carolina's. Just looking down the right side, let's do a little quick word association real quick.
Right.
So I'm looking at the paper bracket.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you have here. So top right, the Florida Regional. They're the one, though, at Florida A&M, then three-seeded Texas Tech, two-seeded UConn. I just think chop-chop. Like, that shouldn't be any problem.
Oh, I think that's a really tough draw.
You think?
Yep, absolutely.
Why?
Well, UConn's annoyed. They didn't take care of business in the Big East, and Texas Tech is the feistiest team in the Big 12. They can hit. Texas Tech can hit with Florida. That's why I think it's a problem. If Florida pitches the way they need to, they're in, and they'll take care of business. They need to take care of business because they haven't done it the last 2 years.
All right, they're paired with the South Carolina regional. We'll bump down. You've got the Coastal, the Conway one, which we just outlined.
Yep.
The Conway regional is paired with Virginia, the mm-hmm. Charlottesville regional.
Yep.
Virginia the one, Army the four, three-seeded Oklahoma, two-seeded ECU. I think this might be among the easiest paths the Pirates have had in their bid for Omaha. One of the last between them and DBU. We've said this a number of times. The two teams with the best pedigree, the best tradition, the most successful that have still yet to have punched their ticket to Omaha, and ECU not hosting. Maybe that's what they need.
Here's my take from that pairing. The Super Regional will be hosted in the state of North Carolina.
It'll be either ECU or, well, yeah, one of the three teams who come out on top. Well,
yep.
Minus Conway, South Carolina.
Conway, you can't.
But you
do
think
it.
It'll be in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm. ECU or Duke?
All right.
I don't think Virginia's winning that regional. I don't. I don't see it.
ECU couldn't take care of business against the Wave. Come on. This is your moment. Tulane, 19
Roll
wins.
Roll Wave.
19 win Tulane.
Yeah, baby. 19-40.
Romps
most
through.
Losses of any team to make the NCAA tournament. We're back. And we're going to Baton Rouge. And we're probably going to lose. But it's okay. I want to see Dylan Carmouche against Paul Skeens on Friday night. Dude versus dude. Let's see who's better. It's probably Skeens. But Dylan Carmouche is a freaking dude. So is Ricky Castro, by the way. Roll Wave. Let's get it done. Upset of the century. Here we go.
Carmouche against Thatcher Hurd Friday night.
Oh, it's already been announced?
No.
Oh, okay.
Javian Coleman.
Well, hey, Thatcher Hurd pitched really well.
He did.
In Hoover.
He did.
A career high for him at LSU. I mean, that was incredible.
I think you saved Skeens for Oregon State.
Yeah, probably. It's fine. You know what? I'll take it. Fine.
Okay, so Tulane romps their way through Clearwater.
yes.
They're in Baton Rouge because they took care of ECU. That's your top right quadrant. Now we got the Nashville Regional paired with
You didn't do Baton Rouge's pairing if you want to go there.
Well, that's on the other side of the bracket. Oh, okay. I'm not trying to tic-tac-toe here. Okay. I'm going in order.
All right.
Nashville is paired with Stillwater.
Yep.
Vanderbilt, the 1, Oregon, the 2, 3 is Xavier, who took the automatic bid in the Big East. 4 seed is Eastern Illinois. Vandy and EIU shouldn't be a problem for the Commodores. I think this is fairly easy for the Vandy boys, the SEC tournament champs. All things considered, Oregon did win the Pac-12 crown in the tournament. So, you know, maybe that's one thing that can help spark them and springboard them. But, no, I'm not really seeing any issues for Vandy and Music City. I think it'll be a sweet symphony as they move on.
3-0 for Vandy. Yeah, they'll win. So. This is one of 7 teams that have egregiously hard travel. Oregon to Nashville, Oregon State to Baton Rouge, Washington to Stillwater, UConn and Texas Tech to Gainesville, Arizona and Santa Clara to Fayetteville. Those are the 7 that I picked out of the field that I'm like, enjoy that plane flight.
Speaking of Washington and Stillwater, not Oral Roberts from Tulsa to Stillwater. ORU, who is the 4, winning a Summit League tournament title or a tournament crown for the 21st time in their program's history.
Yeah.
46-11. They've won 36 of 39 games. Mm-hmm. They only lost one time during the league year. That was to North Dakota State. They've won 18 in a row, and they've already beaten Oklahoma State twice. Mm-hmm. And they're playing them first right out of the gates. They ain't scared.
Dude.
If there's 1-4 seed to make it out, sorry, Tulane, but I'm going ORU simply because, too, we don't believe that Oklahoma State is deserving of being a regional host.
Yeah, and DBU's kind of, you know, dipped back and forth. They stubbed their toe against UTSA, right? Or no, UTSA, sorry, other way around. But DBU still dipped. Washington has been flaky. After they were Kendall Rogers' sleeper to make Omaha at the beginning of the year, I believe, which, hey, they made the tournament. Good pick. Yeah, I think the Stillwater Regional is going to be as fun, if not more fun, than it was a year ago. What do they have, like 140 runs last year in the tournament with all the craziness that went down? You could pass that this year. Oral Roberts can hit. So can DBU. And we know Oklahoma State can hit, regardless of how we feel about them as a host or not. That could be fun. A really, really, you know, high-powered offensive juggernaut for teams.
46 wins, second most in the country for the Golden Eagles. Their most since 04, top 10 nationally in batting average, ERA, fielding percentage, hits allowed per 9, whip, and win-loss percentage. So they're filling it up in every notable statistical category. 185 at O'Braid Stadium on April 11th. That's just a war zone of a regional.
Mm-hmm. And Rex Holt gets to call all those dingers.
Yes.
Or sorry, what did you call them? What was the latest word you came up for?
Dongs?
No. We were in Hoover on Sunday, and you came up with like a different word for a home run. I forget what it was. Something with a B. Something blast, maybe? I don't remember. It was really funny. It was good, too.
I can't recall.
Whatever. All right, move on.
Anyways. I was blacked out all last week. It wasn't alcohol related.
No, no.
It was baseball related.
We barely had any alcohol last week.
No, no. We bought a 6-pack one night, and it took literally 6 days.
To finish
and I brought home two of them.
Two of them, yeah. Yeah, the most beers we had was when we were watching Dirty Grandpa on Saturday night.
Great film.
Oh.
Thank you, Netflix Top 10 Trending, to pick that gem up. Robert De Niro and Zac Efron, thank you very much.
And Aubrey Plaza. And Zoe Dutch.
Can't
leave them out.
Can't
beautiful
leave
women.
Them out. No. Bottom right corner of this quadrant on the right side of the bracket, Indiana State, the 1. They'll have 4-seeded Wright State, always tough out of the horizon, 3-seeded North Carolina, 2-seeded Iowa. Very intrigued by the Tar Heels and the Hawkeyes. When does Brody Breck pitch in this? I would imagine he'll go against the Tar Heels in game 1. But no Vance Honeycutt all weekend, according to Steve Forbes. So, Scott Forbes.
Yeah.
Steve Forbes.
Steve Forbes, Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, head coach. But according to Scott Forbes, no Vance Honeycutt. He didn't play this past weekend in the ACC tournament. He's dealing with a lower body injury.
Is Matt Horvath okay?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't know. No Vance Honeycutt hurts. Terre Haute, I think, is anybody's game.
It is culture shock for North Carolina going to
it is. everybody else is more familiar. I think it's up for grabs. Sorry, Indiana State. I mean, I love you. I'm happy you got a host, but by golly, you're going to have to fight through this regional. This regional might go seven games. I could see it going to Monday pretty easily.
Terre Haute caught a massive stray from me.
From you.
A couple weeks
ago. Do you want to retract your
stray?
No,
I don't. I just, you know, I've stayed there a couple times for
At least
for
you've
football.
Been there. At least you could admit.
Yeah, I've been there. It's just blah. It's just a blah Midwestern town. I mean, a lot of them are. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't given a, you know, proper treatment.
Here's the thing, though. Whoever comes out of that regional is probably going to Fayetteville. And I don't know, you beating the Hogs this week in Supers. I mean, they look real good.
Yes, the team who comes out of the Wabash Valley.
Yeah.
Wabash Valley is going to have Arkansas, I think. Now, looking at those other schools, you know, we've talked a lot about Arizona. We've talked about TCU blazing their way through the Big 12. I mean, these are still brands.
Oh, they're okay. Yeah, they're capable.
So, like, it is loaded in name only.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Arkansas should be able to take care of business, the number three overall seed.
I agree. I mean, TCU, I think, will be the one to challenge them. Arizona is hot right now, as evidenced by the fact that that's what got them into the tournament. But after watching Arkansas play this week and dismantle LSU's offense the way that they did, I mean, good luck. They're not going to pitch Haken Banks and Hunter Holland in piggybacks this regional. They're going to put them each separately.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So we will pick all these on Thursday,
yeah,
and we'll run through the remaining six remaining regional pods here in a moment. But do make sure you get with us on Twitter at Kyle Shass, at SportsCon4, at CS Now Tweets. I will answer your DM.
Yep.
About getting involved in our bracket challenge.
Oh, yes. Please join.
I will get your email. There is no direct link that I shoot out. This is very exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay?
Just like your pool party that we had a few select guests come to.
Yes. So many of you were just, you know, banging down the door and just flooding my DM pool with all of
you. You had to shut off your notifications. There
I did.
So many.
I did. So this is going to work similarly. We want you to be a part of our CS and bracket challenge. I've already got a couple of the OGs that are in this. Khan and myself, of course, and Cerber will be in it. So come, and we'll use this as a fun way to track and flex our college baseball acumen. Or lack thereof over the next 3 weeks. So slide in any one of our DMs, and if you hit up Khan, I'll make sure he has the ability to, you know, invite you to the bracket challenge. We just need your email. So if you get at me on Twitter at Kyle Shass or him at SportsCon4, we'll find a way to obtain your email and make sure you get the invite. At CS Now Tweets is how you can interact with us always. The show Twitter account.
What are we wagering this year?
We're taking suggestions.
Okay.
I haven't come up with this.
To remind the listeners of what we wagered last year, it was a 6-pack of White Claw Surge.
I think it was a 12
pack. 12 pack of White Claw Surge, which I won.
Yes.
And it was delivered to me on my birthday on the golf course at Tanglewood, and I believe four of them were finished by the time I finished that round.
Yes.
Which was a mistake. But it's okay. We had fun.
We'll come up with something by Thursday, but we'll take your suggestions, too, for what Con and I can wager. As for you, the listener, for your participation, it's bragging rights. It's being a part of something bigger than yourself.
Yes.
It's about, you know, the fraternizing that is involved.
We can maybe come up with something for the listeners to win.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll come up with a little something. Don't worry. We'll take care of you. We're not bad people.
No.
We're not bad people at all.
No.
So our bracket challenge, please get up with us on social media, and we'll make sure you are a part of that. Okay, we've gone over the Wake Regional in the top left corner, paired with Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
Also outlined the Coral Gables Regional right below that, which is paired with the Stanford Regional. Stanford the 1, San Jose State the 4, Cal State Fullerton the 3. After all that, the topsy-turvy finish.
They got it.
They do secure the Big West title, the only Big West team to get in. They will have Texas A&M. So the other non-number one, Texas A&M and Tennessee, both on the left side of the bracket. Tennessee having to go through Clemson, and for Texas A&M, they'll have to go through Stanford. For me, it's the Wild Wild West. It's the only regional Wild West. You got three Western-based teams, and then you got the Aggies who are licking their chops and schlosh coming to spoil the party and have some fun.
If I could whistle, I would. If I had the ability of the Vandy Whistlers, I would go. You know, the old West theme song?
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Texas A&M and Stanford, showdown.
That'll be fun.
Showdown.
I like Texas A&M.
Right now I do too, but I also saw them six times this past week, so I'm very biased because I just watched the Aggies become the first double-digit seed ever to make the SEC championship game and almost win if it weren't for, you know, the boisterous offense of the Vandy boys. But I like A&M. I mean, right now, I got to look at Stanford a little bit more because they got, you know, rudely ousted by Arizona in the Pac-12 tournament. But right now, I'm leading Aggies all the way.
The Baton Rouge Regional paired with the Lexington Regional. One of what I believe are three potential scenarios if all the one seeds were advancing that would pit SEC teams against each other. Of course, that can change with certain seed lines coming out and not the number one. I do have some numbers about how often the number one seed versus other seeds get to Omaha. I do want to share it before we get off. Again, we'll make our picks and maybe give our eight for Omaha of who we think are most likely to get through, not just this
supers.
Week.
Yeah.
Not only just to come out of regional weekend, but to win the supers and punch their ticket to the College World Series. So the Baton Rouge Regional includes Tulane as the 4, Sam Houston State as the 3, Oregon State as the 2. For me, this is Skeens Regional, as I call it, because, you know, we know what LSU has in Skeens. He wasn't himself, but it was nerves. I don't know. He didn't have it against Arkansas. He didn't even pitch into the fifth inning.
He was nervous with you calling his game.
Yeah, like Jack Caglione, who also didn't show up on the mound last weekend.
You have an intimidating presence, dude. Your aura and Hoover just overcame them.
Nonetheless, Thatcher Hurd did show up, but all of the question marks that we have on the LSU pitching staff still remain. They still exist.
Oh, my God.
Now, Riley Cooper did mighty fine out of the pen for Paul Skeens on Thursday in the loss to Arkansas. And I believe it was it Cody Atkinson who ended up closing the door for Thatcher Hurd earlier in the week?
Yes.
It was Atkinson. Yep. He had a moment or two where it was, you know, a little nerve-wracking, but he was able to finish it out.
How about Hurd using Skeens' glove, by the way?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. His glove broke. Skeens gave him a backup. And
anything Paul Skeens touches turns to gold. Yeah, so
good on you.
Yeah.
But I think Jay Johnson was able to kind of cover up. His bullpen wasn't as exposed as it could have been. Mm-hmm. He didn't allow it to be exposed.
No,
he was able to give his guys some rest.
Yeah.
And that's much to the chagrin of those LSU people who are hell-bent on winning SEC tournament titles more than anyone else. They've won 12 of them. They have more. So when Jay Johnson conducts and comes across in such a way where he may not be as interested as what the fan base might like in going to Hoover and winning that tournament, it helps to, I think, fray that relationship just a little bit more. Just an interesting dynamic between the fans who still, I think, are, you know, so used to the ways of Paul Maneri that it's still a rough transition as they try to learn the ways of one Jay Johnson. So I think LSU, they better come out of this. Otherwise, you're really going to have problems in Baton Rouge.
You're facing the Division I leader in hits at Sam Houston.
But what do you have behind Paul Skeens? And do you throw Paul Skeens game one against against
Tulane.
I don't think
you can. You have to save them for the Beavers.
I would agree. So paired up with Lexington. Lexington hosting. When I think of Lexington Con, I think of Living Arrangements. So apparently there's a country music festival yep. in town. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the homework on what exactly that festival is.
I'm pretty sure this is a yearly repeating festival.
And these teams, four-seeded Ball State will have Kentucky first, then three-seeded Indiana and two-seeded West Virginia. Randy Macy and company are going to have to stay in the residence halls.
The freshman dorms. Yeah.
Which, I'm going to be honest, they aren't that shabby. They're fine. I don't know why we're promoting study areas, bike parking, and a kitchen in these dorms.
These boys are flying.
In the pamphlets that you're giving to these teams and giving them price options for
why are we charging
a four-person or a two-person. Gosh.
Dude. So, no hotels. Here's the deal. There's no hotels within an hour of Lexington. That's why they're doing this, people who are wondering why, because they've all been booked up by country music festivals and travel ball tournaments for kids, you know, whatever age regardless. So there's no hotels in Lexington, and they have to stay in the dorms on UK's campus.
Oh, dude.
And they're charging them $93 a night to stay in these dorms. If you are a team, Shass is intrigued by the country music festival.
Dude, this is amazing.
I know.
I want to go to Lexington.
If you're a host city and you're hosting teams and you can't provide adequate accommodations, which I'm sorry, sharing four people to a bathroom is not adequate accommodations for the NCAA tournament. If you're sharing four people to a bathroom in a freshman dorm where the beds, no matter what you do to them with your commercial linen agreement partner, they're not going to be comfortable. Everyone's going to need to bring egg crates. Walmart's going to be sold out of egg crates by the end of this weekend.
Wait, why do we need egg crates?
Because those beds are not comfortable.
College, how do you know?
I've slept in a college dorm.
This is the University of Kentucky.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what school it is.
They're extra long beds.
These aren't the athletes' dorms. This is the regular dorms, at least what it looks like. So
they're there to play baseball,
yeah, Con. But you shouldn't be charging them $93 a night to stay in subpar accommodations.
We got to charge them something.
No, you don't. If you put them in a hotel, sure. Sorry, I feel this. I must stand by this. Teams are not going to be pleased about this if they aren't already. Also, is there not another city in Kentucky where we could have played this regional that has hotels available? Like Louisville, maybe? They ain't in the tournament.
Dude, I am.
Their ballpark's open.
I am fixated on this music festival.
All right, give me the details.
This thing is amazing.
I'm done. I know about this festival.
What I would do to make it to Lexington this weekend, it's called Railbird. Mm-hmm. And it's got my number one favorite artist right now is headlining on Saturday in Zach Bryan.
Yep.
Okay? Zach Bryan is going to be accompanied by the likes of Whiskey Myers, Sheryl Crow, Marcus Mumford, Weezer is there, Wayne Graham, the former head coach of Rice. Is he making music? There's some dude named Wayne Graham.
I don't think it's the same person.
Who's performing the same night as Zach Bryan. Dude, they got freaking Wayne Graham. And then night number two on Sunday, Tyler Childers.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler,
it's a great
freaking
lineup.
Childers.
It's a phenomenal lineup.
We'll have also with him Nathaniel Ratliff, The Head and the Heart, Goose. Hartzell told me about Goose. I think Serber's a Goose guy.
I mean, we go to Lexington.
Lee.
You can't get a hotel.
I don't need a hotel. I just need my car. That's the thing. My daughter made me watch a scary movie last night. Don't judge me as a father.
You don't want to live in an Airbnb anymore.
No, I'm fine with Airbnbs.
Okay.
However, like in the moment, if you're going into an Airbnb that somebody has already booked, name of this movie is Barbarian, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Barbarian. We'll just leave it at that. Yes, my 7-year-old had already seen it with her mother and her brother. So this isn't me as a bad dad, but she wanted to watch it with her daddy. So we watched it, and I'm like, oh, my God. Anyways, if I show up to an Airbnb and somebody's already occupying it, I don't care if I can't find a hotel anywhere else, because apparently there was some convention, according to the movie, you know, dialogue and script. You know, it's bad neighborhood, you know, whatever. There's nowhere else to stay. I'm gonna go drive to like a local like busy store and just sleep in my car in the parking lot.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Instead, you go into the house and you know I'll let you watch the movie and find out what happens.
Things happen.
Yes, things happen. Music and lots of it. Traditionally, a railbird is a horse racing enthusiast known for sticking close to the action, hanging on the rail as each contender comes barreling down the track. For one special weekend in June, the term takes on an added meaning during the third annual Railbird Festival. Mm-hmm. 2 days, three stages, world-class artists. Kyle Schassberger is there.
He wishes.
I wish.
Anyways, you mentioned SEC teams not emerging. Which ones might not?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, there's no way Kentucky comes out of that.
No. No. West Virginia or Indiana could win that. Totally. I think West Virginia.
Indiana won of two Big Ten teams. Maryland, the other, won the tournament. They're going to Winston-Salem. I'm less on Indiana, you know, for.
Maisie Ball.
Again, Randy Maisie's my guy. He's your guy.
Yeah.
His wife's your.
Oh, no. Don't put that out of the universe. Amanda Maisie's phenomenal, but she's not mine. Don't put that out there.
Top-seeded Auburn, top-seeded Clemson. These two regionals are linked. Auburn has four-seeded Penn, three-seeded Samford, two-seeded Southern Miss. Clemson has four-seeded Lipscomb, three-seeded Charlotte, and two-seeded Tennessee. Charlotte with a bid steal over the weekend in Conference USA before they head off to the American Athletic Conference. Samford, three games, three wins in one day.
What are we doing, SoCon?
Sunday.
What are we doing? They played 27 innings and won all of it to win the tournament. That is not allowed. You can't do that.
It happened.
You just can't allow. You cannot let a team have to play three games in one day. And they were all nine-inning games, too. How are those games not shortened to seven innings? Like, I'm sorry. That's a real, real big misstep by the Southern Conference. That needs to be rectified next year. There needs to be a rule in place that you can't do that. Because there is a rule in minor league baseball that you can't play three games in one day. Because it did happen back in, like, 2013. They played three five-inning games in one day, and that was the last time it ever happened. Can't happen. That would I cannot believe that happened. And hat tip to the Samford Bulldogs for winning all of them to win the tournament. Way to stick it to the man and get into the tourney. Good for you. You're going to lose in the Auburn Regional, but good for you.
Gosh.
That's it. That's my rant.
15-6 in the regular season for the SoCon, and somehow, some way, winning three games in one day.
Just incredible. Incredible.
Outstanding.
I'm not going to say who I like. That's for Thursday. I already have a pick for that one, but I'm not going to say it. It's not Samford.
That's the Scott Barry Regional. Southern Miss has won 19 of 21.
And he's retiring. This is the last show round versus Clemson, who we've already talked about.
Like,
Tennessee and Clemson.
Well, if I got Southern Miss coming out of there, that's one of those SEC teams. If I think seven are going, that's out. And I already said Kentucky's not winning.
Yeah.
That's another. That leaves me with eight.
My three, if we want to put this out there right now, my three are Auburn, Kentucky, and South Carolina that I don't have.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's
agreed.
It.
We'll see if there's another one between now and Thursday.
The 12, 13, and 14 seeds, 15. Indiana State's number 14. No disrespect, Terre Haute, unlike Shass.
By the way, Jay Johnson did say there's no commenting on injuries or pitchers for the remainder of the postseason.
Yeah, good. Stop asking. He's not going to tell you.
He's going to give you the Nick Saban response.
Correct.
To Maria Tabler.
Yeah, Leah Van will handle all of the asking of Jay Johnson for anything. And if she doesn't have the info, it's not out there because she is incredible at what she does for the LSU beat writer.
Wake Forest Regional sold out pretty quickly as of before lunch on Tuesday. Really, as of Tuesday morning, that thing had sold out. Anything else you want to add before we get to do tat tips?
No. We talked about Lexington being bad at their housing. No, I'm good. I mean, we have picks on Thursday. We got plenty more to talk about with this field. I love the field. We've poo-pooed a lot of the field, but I do want to say I do think it is a very good group of 64 teams. There are a few that didn't get in that should have. There are a few that got in that shouldn't have, but that happens every year. I think for the most part, this will be fun. I'm excited. Regional weekend is always a blast. You're stuck to your TV for hours on end. You stay up way too late. It's going to be great. I'm thrilled for it.
My dude of the week is, I could have went BT Raiapel.
Yeah.
Oh. Man, you talk about a dude who had some monstrous home runs.
Yeah.
Not only a walk-off over Alabama early in the week in Hoover, but then a grand slam later in the week. Mm-hmm. to push Florida into the semifinal round. I mean, he had three bombs overall in the year, the catcher for the Gators, causing – now you understand why a guy like Matt Cusetti transferred from Florida to Alabama, what B.T. Riopelle did with the bat this week, and certainly how he commands that pitching staff, the toughness behind the plate. I mean, that guy was super fun to watch this weekend. But I'm going to go with Ryder Scott Shaw. He had three home runs in the championship game where the Bronx – they're not even called the Broncos.
Yep.
They're called the Bronx. Yep. What are we doing?
That's just their name.
You're that
the Bronx.
You're that fool yourself that you dropped the OS?
It's like Louisiana at Lafayette.
No. Yeah. No, it's not.
They call themselves Louisiana.
Yeah, but this is the actual nickname of your mascot.
It's unique.
Not Broncos. The Bronx.
It's unique. I like it.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
The Ryder Bronx, Scott Shaw. Three home runs in the title game, including two in one inning. That's how you set the tone. So, Scott Shaw to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Three blasts in the championship game, helping Ryder earn an NCAA tournament berth there, heading to the Conway Regional, where they'll have top-seeded Coastal Carolina on Friday. Duke and UNCW also in that regional.
Did he earn a spot on your All-Shass team?
No.
Oh. Is the team done?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't decided yet.
All right. You're still taking recruiting visits. Oh, I forgot to ask you. Did you get a chance to recruit Brad Bohannon as your bench coach?
I did not see him in Hoover.
Okay.
He was MIA.
Oh, man. Well,
I thought I would bump into him.
The contract is out there.
It is.
It's been printed.
He's got a blank check. It's just a matter of whether or not he wants to
bet
on himself.
Okay. All right.
That went way over your head.
Yeah. My dude. I'm just going to move on. Second base. Here we come. My dude, I'm doing a little different this week. My dude is you, Kyle Schassberger. You are my dude. And here's why.
Stop.
Here's why. Without going into too much specifics, everything you accomplished, dealt with, handled this past week while we were in Hoover, and the lack of sleep, the still with the attention to detail, preparation, and execution and success of everything you handled in Hoover this past week is, I mean, otherworldly. And I mean, I'm not surprised because it's you, but like, still, mad impressive. You showed me an even higher elevated level of yourself than I thought was possible, and it made me seriously just, you know, mad respect. So I want to give you my dude of the week because I think what you pulled off over the last week is not something that really any other person could have done to the level of success that you had. So, well done.
You make me cry, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, was not 100%. Had a lot of things going on, a lot of things to juggle and balance, which, you know, is my life in a lot of ways every single day. But more than ever, considering the weight of what we had to accomplish, what we had to get done, the job we were there to do last week, and a lot of other things going on. So we'll leave it at that. Thank you, man. Appreciate the acknowledgement. Not that I'm here for, you know, pats on the back or anything.
No, but it's not a pat on the back.
Yeah,
it's to tell you killed
you.
It. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And
it was a pleasure to listen to you and Phil Brehm do games. You guys had great chemistry. It's a
pleasure to listen to you and Tim Bickford.
Yeah.
I think we did a good job.
Glad we had Phil back this year.
Yeah,
he was good
to have Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since you're getting all soft on me, why don't you talk about your parents with your hat tip?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one because I was struggling to come up with a hat tip baseball related. I was like, you know what? My parents are in Tokyo right now. They decided to take a trip to Japan starting on Memorial Day weekend. And I just want to give a hat tip to all the people out there, including my parents, who, when they want to just go live their life, they do it. And that's what my parents do. They are not afraid to take the wind by the sails and go enjoy themselves in any stretch of the imagination, whether it's taking a trip with their family friends that they take trips with all the time. That's who they went with on our Middle East trip last year, and it was the kids were involved this year. It's no kids on the trip to Japan, which we've griped about, but that's okay. And they enjoy life. They have fun, and they don't live life with regrets. And I want to give a hat tip to that for just being that, because that's how I want to be in my life. So I just give a hat tip to my parents. That's it. That's all I got.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hopefully you can follow in their footsteps.
I try in many ways.
They are the guiding light for you.
In some ways I deviate, but in other ways I do
try. That's very sweet. You officially have just turned this show into something else over the last couple of minutes. It's kind of like Days of Our Lives. I feel like we're, you know, this is.
I thought you were going to say Saved by the Bell, and then we could talk about when Zach Morris was brought in, and I yelled Saved by the Bell at Tim Bickford.
Network television soap opera is what this has turned into. Okay. It's about time that one of those would be on, the soaps.
You're right.
You know, 12:15 Eastern time on a Tuesday as you and I conclude this recording of College Sports Now. So,
what's your hat tip?
I don't know. The folks in Hoover. The SEC, for the opportunity, what we were able to do last week.
Unmatched.
Certainly all the volunteers, the grounds crew, just one delay again to Dodge, similar to last year in terms of a game starting
a wild
and
delay.
Stopping. But we didn't have all the rain we had to deal with a week ago. I know there was a lot of stumping from those in social media and Twitter and, you know, irrational fans stumping for moving the tournament to Globe Life. And look, I understand the contract with the Big 12 and Globe Life is up. Next year, the contract with Hoover and the Hoover men, the SEC, is also up next year. But those will both be renewed. They'll both be renewed.
They do a great job.
I could see maybe one year where the SEC, just to pacify all of those that might be, you know, again, just banging on the door to move this thing to a controlled environment with a roof so weather doesn't have to impact the tournament. But let's look at it in its entirety. Like, weather did not impact the tournament this year. We had one delay, and it came in the ninth inning, and was for 2 hours and 6 minutes in the first game of the whole stinking tournament. And then beautiful, gorgeous, scintillating weather the rest of the way.
Yep.
Game two of the tournament, excuse me. It was not an issue.
No.
And last year we got it all in. Until games are getting, like, cut, like, I understand we played 4 Friday, 4 Saturday a year ago, but, like, come on. Shelve the conversation. You know, stop trying to change the world as a fan. And create all this, you know, aggressive takes. Just be happy with what you have.
Yeah.
You know, stop
Hoover's
trying.
Great.
Stop trying to move a good thing. Like, you wouldn't get the same community involvement. It wouldn't mean what it means to Hoover if you move it to Houston or Arlington. Mm-hmm. Sure, you might have a dome. You might have a roof. You might be guaranteed to get all these games in. You know, weather's not going to impact it. But you're just going to be one small event that is going to be overshadowed by everything else going on in those areas.
Yep.
And you're going to make it that much more difficult for all the other fan bases to travel as well. Hoover is extremely accessible to most of the teams within the league. You know, with the exception maybe being Texas A&M. Missouri played at Auburn the weekend before. They just stayed down there.
I don't think anybody really who was on the road came home. I think they all just went to Hoover.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. No, Hoover's great. I mean, they gave away air fryers at the tournament this
year. Air fryers, 12 packs of Dr. Pepper. Like, they did
remarkable.
It all. The people are so kind, so pleasant.
Communication
again,
staff is unmatched in the level of communication and the efficiency with which they communicate. Ben Beatty and his team are just, they're remarkable. Greg Sankey, does a great job of making sure that he comes around and is present at the tournament. You know, some commissioners, you know, you might not see them as present as Greg Sankey is. Obviously, he joined us on SEC Radio. He was on the SEC Network. He was down on the field. I mean, he's out there. He's in the community of the SEC in Hoover. Now, granted, it's helpful because the offices are right there, but still, he was there. He didn't have to be there. He was there. So, you know, yeah, the SEC, great job.
Touche. Round of applause for the SEC. All the volunteers, as I mentioned, they're some of the best, some of the most pleasant. That is the heartbeat of that community for that one week heading into Memorial Day, and certainly a memorable, fantastic experience. Any fan of college baseball, certainly I understand your priority is to get to the Holy Grail, the College World Series up in Omaha. But if you can't do that, or if you have already done that and you want to check out a league tournament, come down to Hoover because there's nothing quite like it. So
no.
He's David Kahn at SportsCon4. I'm Kyle Schassberger at Kyle Schass. Wake Forest, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, Clemson. Those five in order. The best odds to win the College World Series. I'll give you some of those other numbers that I hinted at in terms of seeding and their best chances of making it all the way to the College World Series. On Thursday's show, as Con and I will also pick some regionals. We'll make our picks. You want to be a part of our bracket challenge, get with us on Twitter, at Kyle Schass, at SportsCon4, at CSNOW Tweets. We'll give you the private invite. It's already a growing bracket challenge. I'm looking at several thousand entries already.
What?
Yes, that's right.
Oh my God.
He's Khan. I'm Shass. We'll talk Thursday. Bye.
Bye.